Oh, see.
There it
Okay,
goes.
you got it.
All right.
Okay. I want to welcome everybody to our 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock hour, wherever you are. And we're going to turn this session over to Shelley Koppel.
Well, welcome. I'm glad everybody's having a good fourth day of this training. I think it's been awesome today. We wanted to talk in our hour about daily living skills and that kind of thing, about cleaning. And there's cleaning like for the purpose of every day or every week, you know, going thoroughly through your house. And then there's also things like decluttering and clean sweep. We've titled it a little bit. And a friend of mine from Columbia here in South Carolina, Shannon Cook, is going to be speaking with us. I find her just very awesome at her abilities and talents to keep things organized in her home. And so I thought I'd invite her to join us today. So Shannon, take it away.
All right. Hi, everybody. I know you can't all respond, but I hear you out there in virtual land saying hello back. I hope y'all have had a great week so far. I wanted to speak about several different things. And just to let you know, sometimes I'll start on one thing and get sidetracked myself. Something that's equally relevant, but it may be, you know, kind of a sidetrack. So if I do and it gets bothersome, just tell me and I'll regroup. But I got interested in organizing and decluttering and cleaning probably when I was in college and had my first apartment. And I obviously was new at it. I cleaned at home and I helped my mom organize and do things, but not to the level that I do now. And it's so much exciting to me. It's exciting. Everybody might not be excited by home organization, but it is exciting to me because when you have a good system in place, it saves you time. It saves you frustration. You don't have to think about where does something go because you have a place for it and everything has a place. If you don't have a place for something, then that tells you you need to thin out what you have or make a new place that can accommodate. Because after all, the space you have is the space you have. And most of us are not going to increase the amount of space we have to accommodate our stuff. So that leads me to my first overreaching precept, and it is, before you can organize what you have, what you want, you need to declutter the things that are getting in the way of that. There are quite a few books available through your Talking Book Library, on Bard, on Audible, your books app, anywhere you can find books. There's a lot of resources there because that's a big topic these days, probably last 20 plus years. Anybody that has HGTV knows that they've made a business out of having shows to show you how to organize, how to keep your home clean, how to make the best of the space you have. So that's my number one kind of premise there, is whether you are going to go through and do like Marie Kondo and pick out the things that spark joy for you, and that's what you keep. Or maybe you go through your things and do, you know, ask yourself the questions, need, love, use. Do I need this? Do I love it? Do I use it? And if the answer is no, then you put it to go. There's a lot of different approaches, obviously, and that's that's fine. Whatever speaks to you and helps you get it done, then so be it. But that's what I always tell people. By the way, for my job, I work with senior adults with our Older Blind program here at the South Carolina Commission for the Blind. And that's what I tell people when they're having trouble labeling and finding specific clothes or keeping up with what's in their cabinets. I always say, first thing, if you're not using it, you don't need it, get it out of the house. If it's out of your flow, your daily activities, then you don't have to figure out, is this that thing that I keep moving around and I never use? Or is this that thing I'm looking for? It just, again, makes a difference. So, like I said, there's a lot of other resources, but usually that's the big thing. Do you want to organize by what you want to keep or what you want to give away or get rid of? Let's just pretend for the sake of this that we've done that. Everything that we don't need or don't use is gone. If we don't like it, it doesn't spark joy, gone. So now we have what's left in the house. And we want to figure out how to put it, have a system to put it in our drawers, in the cabinets, whether it's clothes you're going to hang up, whether it's toiletries you're going to arrange, whatever it may be. There's a system for that. So I'm going to start with medicine because that one's kind of easy. What I tell people is, for example, if you have medicine and you don't have too much of it, maybe you have, you know, 3 or 4 prescriptions and you take everything all at one time of day. Of course, if you have vision, you can get an index card and write in large marker and wrap the index card around it. You can secure it with a rubber band, something real simple like that. I'm a huge proponent of Braille. I took it upon myself to learn it about a decade ago because I realized my vision was not dependable enough for large print. I was labeling my case files here at work with a 72 font, and I wasn't always seeing that at the time. I said, you know what, this is a real good time to start learning Braille. So I did, and that's how I label all of my case files. I don't put everything that's in the files in Braille, but I do put the person's name there on the outside. It makes it very easy. And same with medicine. If you know Braille, that's obviously going to be your best way to go. But if you don't, there's all kinds of ways. Another option I tell people, if they can realize what the pills are by feel, that's great. You just need to be mindful that if you are taking a generic, that the manufacturer can change the pill shape, or the pharmacy may change the manufacturer where the generics come from. So you just want to keep that in mind. And then again, going back to just using rubber bands, if you say, okay, I'm going to think of my medicine in alphabetical order. So if you have lisinopril and I don't know, there's all kinds of medicine out there. Lisinopril and Prozac and I don't know, hydrochlorothiazide. That's a good one. I always like to say that one because it's kind of fun. With those are 3. So you could do, okay, I have H, L, and P. And then the H, you could just leave the bottle as is. And the L, you could use 1 rubber band. And the P, you could do 2. And, you know, real simple. Haven't gone through much, but you can identify each bottle before you actually open the bottle and have to feel the pills to identify it. If you take, you know, more than a couple of medicines, it's well worth it to get a pill organizer where you have different times of day. Even if you just take your medicine once a day, you can still use the pill organizer to go ahead and set everything up for a couple of weeks or 4 weeks, depending on how many slots are set up for each day. My husband and I do that with our vitamins because we take about 7 or so a day. And instead of opening 7 bottles every day, we just put it in a pill organizer and we take them in the morning with our breakfast and go on about life and don't have to do that but once a month. So that's pretty helpful. And see, saves you a lot of time. You don't have to open 7 bottles every day. Just one little slot and you're good to go on that. So, and that's one of the big things, just finding a system that works for you. If you don't feel comfortable doing that with putting your pills in an organizer, then you may want to have a friend or family member help you with that. Sometimes your pharmacy can do that for you. And there's a lot of services that will do that for you too. Like PillPack is one. There's one from Amazon. I can't remember if PillPack is from Amazon or if there's a different one. But like I say, there's a lot of different services. And what they'll do, they'll send you your pills in the mail already put in these little pouches, these little sealed pouches that you just open each day and take your medicine and again, just go on about life. I think people are going more and more to that just for the ease of not having to figure it out. Just with our busy, high-speed lives that, you know, people want to make things as easy as possible. And obviously, easy is not bad. It's a good thing. Another option y'all may or may not have talked about already is Script Talk. And that's, have y'all talked about that? Somebody can unmute and tell me.
Well, we've sort of talked about it, not in much detail, but it's been mentioned a couple of times, yes. But you could describe it.
And we also had somebody from Accessible Pharmacy speak to us. But
she didn't really explain it. I mean, she said it was available. So if you want to do that, I think that would be helpful.
The Script Talk machine, it's a flat-looking device, and your prescription labels have a code on it. And right now, I think it's an RFID code. But it will scan, you just put the pill bottle on top of the machine. You don't have to center, you don't have to do anything in particular, just put it on there. And of course, as long as it's on, it will tell you all the information that's on your prescription label. So it might say, for example, Shannon Cook, and then give my address and the date that the prescription was filled, the name of the medication, how often you take the medicine, the prescription number, how many refills you have, just anything pertinent on there that somebody could look at and read. It would read out to you through that program.
Now, the thing about that is, though, your bottle doesn't come that way unless your pharmacy knows that you're using the Script Talk, because they have to have a label that matches it.
Right.
And a lot of pharmacies don't do that yet. So you have to
have a compatible pharmacy. Right. CVS does, and Walmart. And I don't know who else, but those are two that do work with that. And in addition, you can get, if you have some vision, maybe you use a magnifier or CCTV, you can also get large print prescription labels. You can request that at your pharmacy. Now, I personally have never done that. I label mine, like I said, with Braille if I need to, but I know that that's a thing you can ask for an accommodation. So, all right. I think that is all I have about medicine. Okay. So, why don't we move to close? And y'all at any time, feel free to jump in if there's somebody with a question or if y'all need to stop me for something.
I'm sorry, this is Diane. I just wasn't fast enough. Talking about your prescriptions and other medications you have that are not prescription, don't ever, ever swallow a pill. You think, oh, I think this is my thyroid medication. Don't ever do that. We had a very sad incident. Well, it wasn't terminal, but you don't want any of your students or anybody you know to come in and say, well, I thought, I'm just sure I took my, let's say lisinopril. But they didn't. So be very, very careful. Oh, I thought that's what it was. No, don't do that. Make sure that you know what you're swallowing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you're, another good tip too, is if you are the one that's going to fill your pill organizer, what I'll do is I'll get a cookie sheet and I'll put all of my little accoutrements out, put all my bottles and all my little pill slots and everything. I'll have all of that on the cookie sheet. That way if something drops, and then I've got that little lip around the cookie sheet that hopefully will keep it in, stop it from going onto the floor, because we have quite a few dogs and we certainly don't want our dogs to get any of our medicine. Potato chips, yes, not the medicine though. But yeah, that's a handy thing. That's just a good idea for anything that you're dividing up. And, you know, if you are sorting out spices and you're mixing those up, I do that as well. Especially coming up on this time of year, I have a recipe for pumpkin bread that was my mother's, and I'll make that just batch upon batch sometimes. And it's just easier to go ahead and pre-mix all the spices and put them in a little container. And then when I get ready to make a batch, I just dump that instead of having to measure out six different things. So, all right. Jumped off the track. Let me get back over to where I was. We were getting ready to move on to close. If that was good, anybody have any other thing for medicine right now? I know we'll have time at the end for questions too. Okay. All right. So to organize clothes, of course, there's all kinds of clothes and all kinds of ways. And again, this is assuming that you've weeded out what is, I think somebody's unmuted, if you would mute yourself, please.
Yeah, everybody should use *6 to mute yourself. That would be helpful. Thanks.
But anyway, we're assuming here that you've already gotten rid of all of the things that you don't want. You know, anything you've got that's real holy and raggedy and you just don't need it in the mix, that's great. Get it out. So, and again, a lot of this is what I've learned and what I do, but that's not to say that's what you have to do by any means, because as many of us as there are, in this Zoom room right now, there's probably five times that many theories on what to do and how to do it. But what I'll do is, when I was young, I had a drawer like for my underwear, socks, bras, any kind of undergarment, slips, things like that. And I just kind of threw them all in there and that was that. And then as I got older, I said, you know what, it's too early in the morning to be fishing through all this mess. So, but what I'll do, I'll take my underwear, my bras, any of that, and I'll roll them, you know, fold them in toward the middle. And then you've got like a little rectangle, and then I just roll them and put them in the drawer, and I put them in the drawer going all the same direction. And all in a pretty little line. And I do the same thing. I wear trouser socks to work because I 99.9% of the time wear pants. So I have my little trouser socks and I pin those two together. Of course, when I'm not wearing them, I'll pin them together to put them in the wash, and then they stay together in the drawer. And then I take the pin out to put them on. And then when I get home and take my trouser socks off, the pin goes back and we just keep that cycle going. But that way it rotates the, you know, the items so that I'm not wearing the same three pair of underwear or the same three pairs of trouser socks, and the rest is not getting any use. So it, you know, things wear more evenly. So anytime I pull something from the front and I wash clothes and I put the rest going from the back or the right or left, whichever direction you're moving things. As far as how I manage things in the closet, I put all of my pants on. I don't know if y'all have seen like the, probably have, they've been around a while, the pants hangers that you can get that maybe have five or six little crossbars, and you can unhook them and they'll fan out, and so you can get to your different clothes that way. I put my pajamas on those because that can be kind of bulky in the drawer if you have, you know, some thicker pajamas for the winter time. Not that it gets real hot and stuff. I mean, cold in South Carolina, but sometimes you do like to have something that's warm. And then I do that with my pants as well. And then my shirts, I do those, you know, just hanging up. I have hangers that are the slim line that have like a velvety velour type covering on them so that it holds the clothes and they don't slip off of the hangers. And that has been something pretty new. I started last year, and that's been a huge help because a lot of the plastic hangers are great, but sometimes if you have a real slick material, then your clothes can slide off and you may not realize it at the time. And then you go to look for it and it's in the floor and then it's dirty. So, but that's a good thing. And, you know, you can rotate your clothes and pull from one end, just same idea as what I was saying with the things in the drawer. Some people will organize by the color. Some people will organize by the style. Like if you have all of your short sleeve shirts in one area, I do that. I put all of my t-shirts in one area and then my casual and work shirts in a different area. I don't want to be super sleepy one morning and come in with my my little sassy t-shirts on. That wouldn't be good. Wouldn't be a good look at work. those are some things I do. I'm trying to think if there's anything else with the hanging up clothes. For labeling the clothes to identify colors, what I do is I've gravitated to where I have all black pants. And that really wasn't on purpose. It just kind of evolved. It just makes it easier. I have black shoes and black trouser socks, and then most everything goes with black. So I'd use that kind of color system. And then, you know, it doesn't really matter on the top. Some people will do like a capsule wardrobe where they stick to a base color, like a navy blue, a gray, a beige, a black, and then they'll have a couple of colors that coordinate with that so that you can pull any item and match it with any other item. You don't have to worry, does this match? Is it, you know, is it going to look good together? And that's not for everybody, but it certainly can make things easy if you go shopping and you say, here's my colors. I have navy blue, pink, and teal. And those might be your three colors. And so, you know, if you're looking for clothes, if it's not navy blue, pink, or teal, you wouldn't get it. But some people, you know, a lot of people don't like to feel like they're restricted that way. And I'm kind of in that camp. I even though I wear my black pants, everything else I have is bright and colorful. And, you know, so again, that works for me. Capsule may work for Shelly, and no plan may work for somebody else. It's just a matter of how you can keep up with it. So if you do have, say your pants are, you have three different color pants. Maybe you have black, blue, and brown. We're getting into fall, so we'll say brown. That goes with a lot of fall colors. What I recommend to people, a real simple way to identify those is, say, for example, if you have black is your most common color with your pants, then just leave them as is. Don't make any adaptations to it. If navy is the next most common color you have, then take a safety pin and put somewhere on the pants where it wouldn't bother you. You know, it could be in the back where the tags would go. It could be on the side along the seam, just anywhere inconspicuous you felt that was consistent, you know, from one pair to another, where you could say, oh, this has one pin. I couldn't tell if it's black or blue, but now I know it's blue. And then say maybe you just have a couple pair of brown pants, and you could do two safety pins. And a lot of times you can leave those in when you wear, wash, and dry. They do make gold-coated safety pins that will not rust over time that you can get. I know Walmart has them. You can get them a lot of places that sell sewing supplies. And they are a little pricier, but, you know, if you think, well, I'm going to put this in, you know, this garment and leave it, and it's going to be my means to identify forever and ever, you know, then it's just not that bad. So it's not like you're using it and then going to throw it away. So, and I don't remember what the price difference was when I looked it up. I just remembered it was a little bit different. A lot of times people will keep their coats and things separate from their everyday clothes just because you don't wear coats every day unless you live somewhere really, really cold. And even that, you still have summer. So, but that's another thing you can kind of, if you have a lot of coats and jackets, you can organize by your lighter coats. You could, you know, have like windbreakers all the way up to trench coats, you know, and just kind of organize it that way. Or you can do like, here's your real thick coats. It may still be lightweight, but be thicker. And then these are thin, but may be extremely warm. It's just, again, what works for you. If you have more than you at home, then of course you want to keep your stuff separated so you know that those are your things. Like my husband and I, we have a coat closet, and we put about four coat hangers in between his side and my side, just so we can keep that straight. So instead of just taking something off a hanger and having it sit there and you think, oh, is that the dividing spot? Because sometimes we'll borrow each other's jackets because they're very similar. By having four, you know, or multiples in the middle, it makes it easier to identify the sides. Not much more to say about the jackets, because usually, you know, unless you just buy a lot in the same style, usually the styles are different enough you can identify it. The textures and the materials are very different. Like your suede is going to be different from your fleece, and different from your leather, and different from a windbreaker with the swishy material. That's what I always call it, when it makes that little swishy noise when you hit it. So you have that. And I think that, and then shoes. If you have a lot of shoes, I've heard people will keep them in boxes, or you can buy the plastic containers to hold your shoes. And you can label those, put a large print or a Braille label on the front. You can group them by your colors and styles. And you can also use something like a Pen Friend, which is a labeling system where you can record what you want to be on that label, and then basically digitally attach it to a specific label. And you could use that label over and over if you wanted to re-record.
Excuse me, Shannon. Yeah, we did talk about the Pen Friend, and that's a good use for it. I was going to say too, I use one of those shoe tree things that you hang on the closet door. They're kind of a soft material thing, and it's got all the slots for shoes and keep things that way.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and that you're talking about on the door, that reminded me too. My husband has a lot of ties for work, and we use the thing I was talking about for your pants that has the different crossbars. We use one of those for his ties. So we put all of his ties are on it, and it's, you know, that rubber material so they don't slide off. And that way I can, what I'll do is I'll take an LED flashlight and shine it on the ties in the mornings, because number one, his sun is definitely not up when we're up. And I'm not always that awake, but having that LED light helps me tell which tie is which and hopefully what goes with the shirt he has. So, you know, there's all kinds of systems for that too. Again, you can use they have clothing tags you can get, so you can coordinate that. I've heard people getting real elaborate, like a tie, they'll give it a number and they'll say, oh, but this tie will go with shirt number 12 and shirt number 33. And, you know, I think that's a lot, but if it works, that's great.
Yeah. And another idea is a lot of men will put, like my husband puts, you know, does a whole outfit. He'll put the tie on the hanger with the shirt that it goes with, so there's that idea too.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm saving the kitchen for last because there's so many things you could say on this, but I'm going to, just for a refresher, what I just was saying a minute ago about using a cookie sheet if you're measuring anything that may be likely to get all over the counter at some point and be a mess to clean up. It's certainly easier to pick up that cookie sheet and wash it than to try to wipe off the counter 10 times because it keeps spreading instead of coming up. One thing I have really become a huge fan of is any kind of microfiber towel. You can buy them in different quality. You can get them at the dollar store, and those do work. I've gotten a big batch of them at Sam's for cheap, and those work. And I've gotten Norwex, which is a mail order company, and those work. You can also get those on Amazon, and they're cheaper, but that is really, really good because a lot of what you want to pick up, it's going to pick up. So what I'll do is I'll use a microfiber cloth to wipe this wet, and I'll wipe things off, and then I'll use a second one to dry things off. And it picks up all kinds of lint and little teeny weeny bits of stuff. So much better than just a regular rag. The only catch with those is you have to wash them without fabric softener. If you accidentally wash them with fabric softener, that's okay. Just wash them again without it. So I use that on everything from the table to cleaning the windows and the glass screen door, mirrors, counters, anything and everything. But with the kitchen, there's a few little easy tricks to save a lot of time. If you have a microwave, most people do, One of the easiest ways I have found to clean it is to get just a little bit of lemon juice and put in a bowl. I mean, you could do just a couple ounces, and then add some water to it and put it in the microwave for about 8 minutes, and then get one of the handy dandy microfiber cloths and just dampen it a little bit, and then just wipe everything out. Whatever thought about being caked on the sides and everywhere, it just comes right off. It is great. That one's not necessarily a blindness adaptation. It's just a good thing to know. It's wonderful. And another, as I mentioned, I do a lot of baking. And one thing I have figured out over the years is when I'm pouring my batter into my bread pans, I used to have the worst time with the batter wanting to stick to the spatula and the bowl that I was pouring it from. And of course, not seeing well, I have a tendency to want to use my hands and scrape around the sides. And it was just so messy and gross. And one day I had a little bright light bulb go off above my head, and it said, "Well, you use the Pam and the cooking spray stuff so that it doesn't stick to the pan. Well, spray your hand and spray the spatula and spray the inside of the bowl." And you know what? That has been such a big help. Because, you know, it just everything comes right off. And when you're scooping something, because sometimes I'll use a measuring cup if I'm doing like making pumpkin bread, but making it into muffins or something smaller, I'll use a measuring cup. And that's just the easiest thing, because otherwise you'll scoop it and then you'll put it in a little muffin tin, and you'll get about half of what's in the cup because the rest is stuck in there. But this way you get all that. So just a little handy tip there. One thing that I recommend to my consumers, any kind of flat surface that you're cleaning, whether it's countertop, tabletop, mirror, doors, whatever it may be, think of it as a grid. And what you want to do is go from top to bottom. So go in the up, down, north, south, top to bottom, whatever, back to front, go one direction. And then, and if you got a microfiber towel, that'd be excellent. And then go back and go, you know, left to right or side to side, east, west, whatever speaks to you. That way you have covered probably the vast majority of what surface you're trying to clean. And then of course, go back with a dry microfiber that keeps other dust and lint from redepositing. I mean, you're still gonna have to clean everything, but instead of having a damp counter and you come back and stuff's already stuck to it, it just, you know, holds that at bay for a little longer. And this also goes for, you know, if you're sweeping and mopping and vacuuming, because I have that a lot too. People say, I keep missing things when I vacuum. And any of this stuff is normal when you are first adjusting to your vision loss, because, you know, you try to do it the way you've done it and you see where things are, and then you get it and you go on. When you can't see where things are, you just have to cover your bases and make sure it's all clean and all wiped off and vacuumed. So that's another good thing, you know, just grid pattern. And if you have a large area, maybe you've got a really big kitchen floor area, then section it off. You know, you don't have to overwhelm yourself. Even if you put down something, like lay a chair down on its side to block off an area, so that you can just focus in the spot where you are, that can help. That can absolutely be a way to do it. And then you get that. And, you know, especially too, if you Maybe you have some breathing problems and you just don't have the stamina to do 800 square feet of kitchen space. I'm just exaggerating there, but you just never know. Maybe you can do this section over here and then you can come back later and do another section, or maybe try a small section just to see how you feel about that and how you, well, you did it, and maybe try a different way in the next section. So it's just, I keep saying it, but it's whatever works for you. If it works and it gets the job done, it's not wrong. That's right. I was getting ready to say something else and just lost my train of thought.
We're probably gonna want to take some questions from people unless you have yes. More than
no, let's do questions.
Okay. Does anybody want to raise their hand or star six themselves or unmute and say your name first, and then we'll.
Patricia Jenkins has raised her hand.
Okay, Patricia, you want to unmute yourself and hit it.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Shelly, I live with a sighted husband. And when you were talking about the kitchen cabinets and making sure that if you don't use it and you don't need it, to throw it out. Well, he's not like that. He's a clutter person. Mm-hmm. And when I go in the kitchen sometimes, his stuff is in the way. And, I don't know what to do about that. He has like 5 different coffee cups and all this kind of stuff. And it's all mixed in with my stuff. And mm-hmm. that gets me mixed up and confused. What do I do about that?
Could you maybe talk to him about him putting his stuff on one shelf and you having your stuff on another and just sticking to the shelf that you have? I realize probably all of your stuff and all of his stuff won't just be one, but if you could group your coffee mugs and whatever else you wanted to specifically have in that location, that might make it easier. And then he can do whatever he wants with his space as long as he keeps it up and does, keeps it in there. That might be an option just to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. There are other things too, like special seasonings and like boxes of stuff, like boxes of Jell-O or whatever.
One of the things, Patricia, to remember is that you haven't been blind all that long, but you've probably been married for a while. I don't know how long you've been married.
29 years.
Yeah, that's a lot of habits. He's in the habit of doing all these things.
Mm-hmm.
So what you really want to do is patiently say, could we have a heart-to-heart talk? And I know it's going to be hard, but if we could organize things a little differently, my life is going to be so much easier and your life will be easier too, because I won't be grouchy or, whatever you want to say. But he doesn't understand the differences. And if you tell him what you learned this week and you learn that you need to be organized, that maybe he could help you with that.
Oh, okay. And then I had another quick question for Shelly. What are your suggestions for organizing the refrigerator inside the refrigerator, so I know where everything is in the refrigerator?
Well, I think, wow, I don't know that I'd say my refrigerator is particularly organized, but there are certain things in certain places, I guess. It might be if,
maybe it doesn't matter how you organize it as long as
it really doesn't. And I think if you could use Braille or some means to label certain things, like if you've got leftovers or certain things that you're going to have in dishes or something, have a way to Braille them But now we got a new refrigerator that's got that French doors on it. So we've got wider shelves. And like, I've got condiments on the door. There's little racks on the door of the refrigerator. So all my condiments pretty much are in one area, maybe top and bottom, because depending on how short it is, you could put it either in the very top slot or the middle one. I don't know, Shannon, do you have any specific things on that? Of course, I've got a vegetable drawer where I keep fruit or vegetable, those kinds of things. But
yeah, and we do that. We put we have some bottles of green tea that we drink, and we put that in one of the vegetable drawers because it keeps it really, really cold. Sometimes it freezes, but not that often. But it is real handy if you have, for you, again, for your needs. Say, for example, you've got leftovers from a meal. Maybe you want to designate, okay, I'm going to put the leftovers that we need to eat in the next few days, I'm going to put that on the second shelf. Things you may use periodically, like if you have a little tub of cream cheese or sour cream, anything, you know, maybe you keep that on a different shelf, third shelf, you know, whatever shelf. But that way you know, if you see something on the second shelf, you have a container, you can say, oh, this is the leftover spaghetti from Tuesday night. We need to go ahead and eat this. But yeah, just have kind of designated spots. We do, because my husband, he's totally blind and I'm, you know, functionally blind. So I can't just look in the refrigerator and go, oh, there's my pumpkin spice creamer in the back left corner. I've got to, you know, get out a little, what's that thing called? The Omni Galaxy.
Oh, the barcode reader.
There you go. Thank you. Yeah. I was trying to think of the official name of it, but it's changed and now it's discontinued, so it doesn't matter. But yeah, barcode reader. And sometimes we'll do Be My Eyes for different things as well. But yeah, I mean, just, you know, we have our dairy stuff on the top shelf, the milk and the creamer and taller things that won't fit lower down. Sometimes we'll put the meat lower down because it seems to be colder. It just, whatever works for you.
Yeah. And I would say when I put leftovers or anything in the fridge, I kind of try and remember, you know, I've got some Pyrex dishes with a solid plastic lid. I just recently bought some dishes that have the lock and lock kind of snap down lid. So I might pay attention to which container I'm putting something in, and I'll try and mention it to Frank. And sometimes we remember, sometimes we don't, sometimes it's a open it up and remember what it was, you know, but I try and go through things like that a little more often, you know, I keep it a few days, a couple of days. And if it's not gone, do the sniff test and things like that. As far as like eggs and stuff, I keep in the container they come in and just set them on a more shallow shelf. So they're on the second shelf. Again, being shorter, I put everything as low as I can get it, you know. So
we've got three people with raised hands.
So those are some ideas. Yeah, those are ideas.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Cheryl and Judy Nelson raised their hands together, and then a little later, Jody Mullick raised her
hand. All right. Pearl, how about you go in first?
Hello, Shannon. It's Miss Pearl. And
Pearl.
Ladies and gentlemen, Shannon, pumpkin bread is delicious. And what I have done in the kitchen, I have some brightly colored pink bump dots. And now when I turn my oven on to bake, I can press that pink dot to bake. And then if I want to put it on high, there's another button. And at the lower right, I know there's another button there to turn the oven off. That has worked a lot. And when it comes to my medication, I've used several bump dots on top of the bottles to know which one is which, because also I use a larger bump dot and a smaller bump dot. Mm-hmm. And in my clothes, I am getting ready to switch out my closet in my bedroom to add my sweaters in there and my lighter jackets and my short sleeve items, I will put in the closet across the hall. So I certainly thank you for that suggestion.
And remember, pink doesn't matter because it's going to be in the same place on the oven. The position right. of the dot is what counts. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Judy?
Hi, I have a comment for the lady who is organizing the refrigerator, and I have a question. I live with two-sided relatives, mm-hmm. and the thing I do to help me remember where I put what, don't help me put anything away. Let me do it myself, because if I put it in the refrigerator, yes. then I know where it is. All condiments go on the door, and I just remember what condiment I have on which shelf. It's on the door. But my big thing is I don't let anybody help me put anything away because then I can't find it. But if I put it away, then I can. And then I have a question about vacuuming. And, you know, I can get to, I have some eyesight. I can get to all corners of every room. Mm-hmm. But I think I pick everything up off the floor. Mm-hmm. And invariably, I will run over something and snap the belt on my vacuum cleaner. And I'm mm-hmm. sure they're repeating. I think, oh, here she goes again. And it's gotten to the point where I'm anxious about vacuuming because I think, what am I going to run over today and tear yeah. up my vacuum?
Oh, goodness. That's a well, good question. What you think, Shelly?
What about not running over things? Is that?
Yeah, picking up so that you don't break the belt.
Well, I've done plenty of that in my life, too, because I had it when my son was little. It looked like a gravel road in his bedroom. So I ended up buying a commercial vacuum. But that was exactly the thing. It's just a labor of love to really, if you're in a room that you know there could be stuff on the floor, to go around and just really systematically, I actually crawl on my hands and knees, just feel around and make sure there's not stuff there. Now in my living room, I might walk around barefooted. My husband vacuums barefooted. So we do things like that so that mm-hmm. your feet might pick up on something that would be there so that before you would run over it. That right. that might be an idea as well.
And roll your cane over it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was going to say too.
You probably won't run over it with your feet before the vacuum does because the vacuum's in front of you. But if you walk around the room, like Shelley said, before you vacuum, and don't worry so much, if you see it, fine, but use the tactile method mm-hmm. of walking the whole living room and picking up what you find as you go. You might miss something, but you'll miss less of it that way.
Right. And like
you have Jody
said, put your cane down. And roll it around that way.
Audio now unmuted.
Yeah, you could.
Hello, I'm Jody from Kansas.
Yeah,
I really love this workshop. It's just wonderful talking to other blind people about this, my problems too. But I have a sighted husband. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a saint, you know, but he loves these skinny popcorn bags, you know, the little one, they're individually packed, mm-hmm. you know.
Right.
And there's a variety pack of this kettle corn. There's mm-hmm. regular kettle corn. There's sugar and cinnamon. And then there's sweet vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, oh, yeah, you know, because he likes this one better than the other two.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a real little kitchen. My baker's rack is just full of all this, like, chips and whatever. And right. so I was wondering, how, you know, I go in there. Sometimes I feel kind of, I know I kind of get impatient with me. Now, be kind, I'm blind, remember, please. And so then he kind of calms down a little. But I just want, blindly going to go in there and pick what kind of popcorn, you know, I can feel. You know, just mm-hmm. grab a bag. But how can I organize that so I can go in? If he wants, like, regular popcorn, I can just get regular popcorn or whatever.
Is he the one who wants the popcorn? Is that why you're doing it?
Yes. Yeah, he wants the popcorn. I like this pistachio. They're different flavors,
right,
too.
But then tell him to pick out the kind he wants. Maybe you want him to make it himself, or maybe he'll make it for him, but let him pick it out.
It's already done. It's already little. individual bag.
I know, but let him pick the bag that he wants to eat.
Well, then, another,
you know,
another.
Like, sometimes husbands need to be kind of lazy, and I feel sorry.
Let's and he'll be hungry.
But how do I know which is which?
Okay, another idea that I come up with immediately is maybe you've got some little baskets, some kind of a little container you could put your different kinds of popcorn in.
Oh, that's and a wonderful idea.
Yeah, just put them right in the row. And then you can get those you could cubes. Put a label on.
But even then, he's going to have to sort it initially because you can't know from the bag and from whence it came which is which. There is no way to know. But there are ways you can sort it, like Shelley says, after he sorts it, helps you sort.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
you could use a pen friend. I mean, I'm sorry, a barcode labeler and find out which was which.
If you want to spend a fortune on one, then yeah.
Yeah, well, you could get them like through the Seeing AI app if you have an iPhone. Or.
Oh, yeah, that's a wonderful idea. Well, thank you. I've just been kind of going round and round with this. So thank you very much.
But yeah, the little organizing cubes, those are great. You can use them. And most of the ones I've seen, you can, you know, collapse them down when you're finished. If you don't have a need for them right then, put them away.
Where do you get those at?
Everywhere. Walmart, Bed Bath & Beyond, Target.
Oh, wonderful.
Amazon. Don't they look like the little crate, those little tiny milk crate thing? Isn't that kind of what they look like?
That's the idea, but they don't look like crates. They've stepped it up a little bit. They're like the ones we have in our house where we keep the K-cups, Shelly. They're okay. The fabric ones. You can get fabric ones or some that have like a weave to them.
That'd be wonderful. I'll have to
Shannon Cook, Janie Degenshine.
Hi, okay. How are you?
Hi, honey. How are you? Good. Great. I just wanted to share something that's really inexpensive. I always say rubber bands, right? So if your husband's going to sort them for you, then one rubber band is kettle corn, two rubber bands is sugar, and three rubber bands is vanilla, or however you want to do it. Cost you nothing except for a bag of rubber bands for 99 cents.
I was going to say, if he has that one particular kind he wants, just put one around that.
Exactly.
That'd be wonderful.
You guys, we need to end this session and say a great big thank you to Shelley and Shannon. Yes. So let's end this session, and then we'll go into our break, and we can talk some more if you want.
Well, at least we're not stuck in the middle of the road like last time.
That's right. That's right.
Thank you, Shannon, for joining us.
Hope everybody made it to the other side of the road.
All right.
And the recording now?
Yes, please.
If I could.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. I'm going to sign off and get back to work.
Thank you.